Those that he found, he's going to keep. Those that he did not find, not because he couldn't or wasn't willing, but because they weren't or you weren't, then he's lost forever, unless you come to him. I'd like to speak to you tonight on the reasons for the children of God's security. Sin brings unrest, uncertainty, uneasiness or insecurity. Repentance and faith brings, and when it is without works, security. Not only security, but eternal security. Acts chapter 20, verse number 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then Philippians 1, 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He that has performed a work in you that he found when he was looking for you, he's begun a work. And that work will continue until the day of Christ. But what is the day of Christ? The day of Christ is that day in which he will come in the clouds of the air and receive his own unto himself. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse number 22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, tonight we're going to look at some reasons the believer is secure in the Lord Jesus. We need to consider these, and we will see that when one is saved, he can never be lost thereafter. One is saved, he is secure in Christ eternally and forevermore. There's no worry and no fear about perishing in the fires and flames of hell or dying forever. He took care of all that. And though we're unworthy, though we're undeserving, he still loves us enough, and that's so much, that he made a way for us to have this security and this assurance and not have to fear and dread, but that we can know we have something to look forward to, and it should cause us to love him even more because of what he's done for us. Now, believers are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4, verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed again unto the day of redemption. Amen. What is that? The day of Christ. Peter says that the day of Christ begins as a thief in the night. And so the day of redemption is the time of Christ's second coming. Look at Luke 21, verse number 28. Luke chapter 21 and verse number 28. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That redemption is deliverance totally from sin. Deliverance from that old nature that we have. We can walk righteous each day. Look at Romans 8:23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. The day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And then in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse number 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Secure. In what state? Alive forevermore, because death is swallowed up in victory. For those of us that he's found. The believer is eternally secure in Christ because no one can reverse the sealing made by the King. And Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the King of all kings and all lords. Daniel 6 and 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins." And Esther the 8th chapter and verse number 8. "Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you. In the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse." Sealed with the Holy Spirit cannot be reversed, cannot be undone. There's no power great enough. There's no being great enough or powerful enough. The covenant between God and Christ secures the righteous. That righteous means right with God in the inward man. Doesn't mean we're sinless. Doesn't mean we may reach perfection. Doesn't mean we need to get uplifted in ourselves. But we need to rejoice in what he's done. He's made us right with him. And that's what this righteousness means. It does not mean the manner in which you conduct yourself or you live. It means our state with God. Because of Jesus and what he did, we're right with God. Any other is self-righteousness, and it's not pleasing to God by any means. The covenant between God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ assures that his seed also will I make to endure forever. Psalms 89:29. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. There aren't any days in heaven. There's no time in heaven. It's an ever-present now. And that's what we have to look forward to. We won't have to dread one day or another. But we will look forward to it being now, always, amen, and forever. His seed also will I make to endure forever. The Lord promises chastisement upon his children when they go astray, in that he will visit their transgressions with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. A lot of people want to believe that you have to keep working in order to be saved. You have to do good and be good in order for St. Peter to open the gates and let you into heaven. Listen, doing good and being good never got anybody, never will get anybody into heaven. The goodness of Christ is what gets men into heaven when they're willing to accept it. Look at Psalms 89, verse number 29. His seed also will I make endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. Psalms 37, 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The covenant between God and the righteous secures them. The Lord promises that I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them. Jeremiah 32 and verse number 40. The Lord says, I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Now, his fear, what kind of fear does he have? It's a reverential fear. It's a reverential trust. It's a fear like a son who loves his father has fear for his father. It's not a dreadful fear or a horrible fear that would make one suffer, but it's a loving and reverential fear. And when one does wrong, they know they deserve punishment from their father. And when the father gives them that punishment, if it's properly done, like the Bible teaches, Book of Proverbs, you'll find out how it's done, folks. So do it that way. We don't need to do it the way that man thinks about it, seems right. Or, by the way, you don't need to do it like grandpa and grandma feel like it either. Because when my great-grandkids get snatched up, it hurts me. But yet, when they do something wrong, I'm ready to say, correct them. Because it's for their good. For their good. We need to love the Lord because he loves us enough to correct us, to chastise us, and to bring us to a place to where that reverential fear will dominate our lives of him. That's not a contradiction. Not by any means. Why is it hard for us? Because we don't understand love. The kind of love we understand is all around us. It's called lust. Yeah. Now, I'll love you if I can get this from you. Yeah. Now, that's not what it's talking about here. If the death that we inherit from Adam is eternal, then the life that we inherit from the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. He replaced everything we lost in Adam. Everything, and then some. In Ephesians 2, verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The sinner is said to be dead in trespasses and sin. Though breathing in and out, heart beating, temperature's good, blood pressure's good, blood sugar's good, everything's good, breathing in and out. They're alive physically. But this life we're talking about is spiritual. Physical life is a separation of the spiritual being from this old earthly physical body. That's physical death. Spiritual death is separated from God and all that's good by continuing in sin. The sinner is dead in trespasses and sin. What is he? He's separated from God. To be apart from God is to be dead spiritually. To be alive spiritually is to be together with God. And that's what Jesus did for us on that cross. as his arms were out on the cross, he wasn't reaching to grab somebody. He was reaching out to reach everybody and take them by hand to receive them in. The sinner, dead in trespasses and sin. The saved person, the child of God, the born again, the one to put his faith and trust in Jesus with the heart, then he is alive spiritually forevermore. Look at Romans 5 and 21. Romans chapter 5, verse number 21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. One day, sin is, or one day, life is going to reign like sin reigns today. The Apostle Paul said that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Yeah, Satan and sin is having their way in this world today. There's coming a day and a time, a new heaven and new earth, that sin will not reign anymore. Sin will not exist anymore. Sin will not touch us or affect us anymore. Sin will not rob us and take away the enjoyment of life that God intended for us to have. His intent is that we not only have life, but we have it more abundantly. Through the Apostle Paul, he made it clear. We not only have joy through John, but that we have fullness of joy. And the way that we do it is the closer we get to the Lord, the more joyous our life is. And he wants us to have that joy because it brings us closer to him. And what we're looking at is this, is a relationship with God leading to a intimate fellowship with God. And it's all based and grounded in love for one another. He loves us. He's confirmed that love. He's shown that love. He's paid the price in that love and made the sacrifice that confirmed that love beyond a shadow of a doubt. And now we need to return the same kind of love to him. There's been in the classes about the agape love and so forth. Well, listen, the kind of love God has for us is the kind he wants us to have for him. And by the way, he made it possible for us to have that love for him. 1 John tells us that those that don't know God don't know love. But he that knows God knows love or has love. And listen, just that gift is a blessing, an absolute blessing. Listen, if you're here tonight, you don't know and you don't understand this love of God. You don't understand about the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter how young or how old you are, you need to meditate upon, you need to think about it. Because I'll tell you what, if you'll reach out to him, he'll reach to you. He's already reaching to you, as a matter of fact. And if you'll just believe the witness of the word of God and those that are living it around us, then you turn to him and with your heart, reach out to God. Because listen, you are dead in trespasses and in sin. You're dead while you live. If you're without Jesus. And this gift of eternal life is the freest gift in this world. Yes. Yep. Cost God a lot, but it didn't cost us anything. And thank God that he didn't require anything of us, because we have nothing we could offer him. We have no. The prophet says our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But thank God he was willing to come and earn righteousness for us with the sacrifice that he made. If you're here tonight, the Spirit of God touches your heart, convicts and draws you, and you know you need to humble yourself before him and reach out to him. Why don't you come? What shall we sing, brother? Let's stand.